You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 82 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, but you already knew that. And as always, I'm with the very relentless Jeff Gargas.
Ooh, relentless. I like that one. Who's
you
that
are
from?
Relentless. You are relentless as a description word from the man, the myth, the legend, Chad Ostrowski.
Oh, really? Well, yes. Thanks, Chad.
You know, I know you guys kind of have been best friends for a really long time, but Chad and I might, you know, have a better best friend status than you guys. So,
oh, that's cute, Ray. You think you're just a little delusional lady, aren't you? Just so confused.
He's so cool. I just want to be best friends with Chad.
You know, you can probably have him. It's cool. You can be best friends. I'll be Tiffany's best friend instead. How's that?
Oh, now you're just...
Oh, yeah. Where you at now? Huh? Now you don't know, because now you want to be best friends with Tiffany.
I do.
Yeah. See, you got to admit, you can't have them both, Ray.
Why well, can't
actually,
I?
Actually, honestly, they would probably both agree that you can be best friends with them, and I'm just out in the cold. So, whatever. This is a great start to our podcast, by the way. I hope you're still listening.
They've already clicked over to the next podcast they have saved on their phone.
They're like, nah, let's move on. Let's move on. So this is coming out, Ray, and obviously, you know, we record these episodes a little bit early, but we were thinking about when this is coming out, and it's the, you know, you probably listen to this. It quite possibly is the 4th of July right now, or maybe it's the 5th because you took yesterday off for the holiday if you're in the United States. If you're not in the United States, then it doesn't really matter because 4th of July isn't important to you. But, you know, we're off, right? And I'm actually, as you're listening to this, I'm actually on my way out of town on vacation with my family. And, you know, I want to talk about something, Ray, because it's something that I struggle with. And the team yells at me all the time about it. My family yells at me all the time about it, but and I am doing it because obviously I'm on my way to vacation. But you know, we talk a lot and we're huge on this team about just, it's funny that Chad uses relentless, but we always talk about the relentless pursuit of better, of just constantly trying to improve, always working hard. And you know, we run a small business that we're growing, and we feel a certain sense of responsibility to all the people that work with us and look towards us for whatever it might be, for content, for training, for inspiration. And we work really hard for that. We push really hard on that, and we always drive that. But I think something we talk about this, but I don't know if we talk about it enough. I don't know if I talk about it enough. And that's taking a moment to just kind of, it's okay to relax. It's okay to take a day off. It's okay to reset, reflect, refresh. And do that. And I know it's probably weird that I'm the one talking about that, but I just wanted to touch on that. Like, I think it's really important. If you're listening to this, you're still doing something right now that's growing and that's awesome. But I want you to know it's okay to turn Ray and I off and stop listening and to just go do something else and relax. And it's okay to not go 1,000% every single day to try and learn. Because teachers, I mean, it's crazy. We do this training where we do trainings, it's the day or the second day or third day after teachers get out of the classroom, and we got a full room of teachers just going for 8 hours with us. We're 2 days in a row of learning something new and working together and already thinking about next year, and it's amazing. But you know, I think it's important for us to every now and then just stop and say, hey, it's cool to just, you know, relax and chill. And Ray, I know you had a day, was that last week, 2 weeks ago? I can't remember what it was, where you took a day.
I did.
With your mom, you had an awesome spa day, right?
Yeah, I was traveling a bunch, and I had one day kind of like a break between one trip and the next. And my mother was like, hey, do you want to, you know, hang out together? And she really wanted to go get her nails done is really what she wanted. And I'm like, hey, I'll take the day. That's a good mental health day. You know, it's funny. I think teachers struggle with this over the summer. I think that a lot of teachers like take the summer and they kind of like crash hard. Like they take like incredible time off and don't really think about school. And then August approaches and they go the exact opposite direction. They become a, you know, workaholics. But to be honest, Jeff, I haven't seen that this summer because we've been doing that summer professional development series in our private group. And no joke, we had like 50 plus teachers coming in once a week at 8 a.m. Central Time to learn. I'm like, it is summer break. I'm so glad that they're getting value from it. But
yeah,
on the flip side, I'm like, girl, did you have to set your alarm this morning? Like, don't. but it's teachers amaze me. I'm so shocked by their grit and their resilience. And I just, you know, we talk about taking time away. I'm so proud of those teachers that choose to kind of take a break every so often. I think it's so, so, so important. So please, I hope that you hear us when we're giving you permission that stepping away is healthy. It's good for your mind, good for your body. And, you know, we need you to take care of you, and then we'll help with anything else in between you want to go check out as well.
You know, we've heard that same message again and again from a ton of our guests of take some time, relax. Don't be afraid to leave work at work every now and then. I can't remember who it was the first time we heard a bunch of times, you know, you can't truly pour into other people until you pour into yourself and fill up your cup, right? We talk about that. So that is so, so important, very, really, really crucial. So we're not telling you not to work. We're not telling you not to continue to be awesome and do things, but it's all right to chill out. It's okay to do it. And we hope that you take some time to relax this summer and recharge. And honestly, that goes right. And we're talking about summer right now, but that goes throughout the whole year. Like, it's okay to chill out during the year too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, take a personal day if you need to take, or at least a Saturday and Sunday, and just like breathe. It's okay. Like, you're earning it every single day. So you officially have my permission, which is really all you need, right?
I think so. We should set a rule for Teach Better Talk listeners that they to be either like relaxing by the pool, or, you know, have this on when they're spending time with family, or we could like set up, maybe they're listening to this when they're driving somewhere. And so we're in their mind, you know, during their relaxing car ride. We'll set that rule. They can't actually be doing anything productive.
Well, I don't know, because we have quite a few teachers that like, they told us that like they do this when they're like working out. They love it when they're doing like very active stuff. Progression. So I don't want to take that.
Keep running.
So, so like, yeah, get that workout. You're not working hard enough. Come on, go faster.
Yep. Yep.
All right, that's what they needed. But I love that. Yeah, I'm glad we talked about that, mentioned that.
We're going to talk about the humor, by the way, of the fact that Jeff Gargas wanted to talk about this morning for Teach Better Talk. And yet my to-do list has like 85 things I need to get done before noon. And Jeff is going on vacation, so he's working like on overdrive right now before his vacation. So he says he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk all the time here, people.
Well, this is really just to get me – I got to get myself in the mindset where I'm okay, because, you know, where I go – up to our cottage in Canada, like, I'm completely disconnected. Like, I don't have a choice. We've got some solar power out there, and that's it. We're 7 miles off the coast on an island, like in the middle of nowhere. I'm fishing and kayaking and stuff like that. So I don't have a choice. I have to go. So I have to get myself in the right mindset. So this is just me psyching myself into that to make sure that I know it's cool. So as long as you say it's okay, Ray, I can go in peace. It's good.
Have fun, Jeff.
So let's talk about this episode, and actually this kind of ties in funny, because, you know, Dan was actually talking about his goal and stuff that he's working on this summer, so he actually touches a little bit on but also taking some time and finding balance and stuff like that. So he really touches on a lot what we're talking about in this episode. But this episode was a fun one. We're talking with Dan Fan. Dan's actually the vice principal at Holman Middle School in Mount Holly, New Jersey. Chad and I had the pleasure of going and meeting Dan last month and spending some time with their teachers out there at Mount Holly. They have just, I mean, it's just a gorgeous town and on the border there in New Jersey. A lot of really cool history there. Beautiful school, great staff. It was an awesome PD that was going on. We're super excited. You get to go out there. We're going to meet Dan in person, which is really cool. But Dan this is his fourth year as a school administrator. Before administration, he taught high school and middle school social studies. He was also coached football, basketball, and lacrosse at both high school and middle school level. He's taught in a wide variety of areas. He's been in a very suburban, affluent type of town to very inner cities, very diverse working class neighborhoods. He's really got a really cool experience. He actually touches on how he actually took a few years off of teaching and came back, and sort of what that experience was like. Really, really great episode. Super excited. Something that he's right at the beginning, I'm not going to even say it because I want you to listen to it, but how he describes his job just got me right away. I wrote it down. I was like, ooh, boom, love it. So anything before we get into this, Ray, that you want everyone to listen to really grab from this episode with Dan?
Dan's an awesome guy. I think he has so much in this episode for you to enjoy. So let's get started.
Yeah, let's get into episode number 82 with Dan Finn. All right, we're here. We're talking with Dan Finn. And Dan, man, this is awesome to have you on the podcast. I met you like a month ago in person. And I actually remember you came in and you're like, so how does someone get on that podcast? And I'm like, you just did. And here we are.
Here I am. Went back and forth.
Got your link. You got signed up. And awesome to have you on. It was great meeting you. Super excited to kind of dive in and get to know you a little bit better by throwing some questions at you and chatting with you today, man. But first off, thanks for coming on. How are you feeling right now?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. It's summertime, working in a school, so I'm doing great right now, you know, downtime.
Dan, it's awesome that you're on this podcast. I'm a little jealous that I didn't get to meet you a few weeks ago.
You should be.
I'll be out there in a few weeks. I want to make sure that we officially meet up and, you know, get to meet each other.
Yeah, it was a cool PD day, having the other guys there, and looking forward to doing it again. I think the staff was pretty receptive, so looking to see if we can take it a little further. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait. Well, I want to make sure our listeners get to learn about you today, because we have so much to chat through. But to start us off, would you mind sharing how you typically would respond, you know, with what you do?
What do I do?
What do you do, Dan?
I work with kids. You know, I work with kids. That hasn't changed since from the time I was subbing and coaching, teaching, and now I'm a vice principal now. You know, I work with kids. I'm a vice principal in a little town in New Jersey called Mount Holly. It's an awesome little town, little slice of old school Americana. And basically my job as a vice principal is to drive a positive culture, you know, to help the teachers, to help the kids, to reach a potential. I think a lot of times as a vice principal, people connect the role of a vice principal, specifically in a middle school, to student discipline. But there's, you know, obviously I do more than that. I do a lot of meeting with individual students, trying to stay ahead of kids getting in a lot of trouble. So I meet with kids individually about their academics, about their behavior, about their home life, and I try to interact with as many people in Mount Holly as possible in a positive way. Again, trying to stay in front of negative interactions, and meeting the parents, meeting the community. And establishing relationships. In the end, essentially, I work with the principal as best we can to roll out, you know, positive behavior initiatives and help kids do their best. I mean, but I do also do the regular, you know, you get in trouble, you do go to Mr. Finn's office. So that that happens too.
I love that you touched on, you went a little deeper, that it does go beyond that. And I love your description of driving a positive culture. I think that's awesome. That's so important. And I'll tell you right now, man, from meeting you just for the little bit that I met you before, like you have that positive vibe about you. So like, I imagine how you drive that into the school, and I'm excited to learn more about that as well. But we're talking about, so a coach, a teacher, starting off in the sub and then being a teacher, vice principal now. A lot of time in the classrooms, a lot of times in the building, a lot of experience there. So I'm guessing lots of ups and lots of downs. So let's talk about a time that you've had maybe one of those downs, a challenge, a failure. Can you kind of take us there with you? What happened? How did it make you feel? And how did you overcome that? And what did you take away from that experience?
I have two things on my mind for that. I mean, the first, I didn't know. I didn't know it was a failure in the time. I thought I was doing great. I think, though, to my first 2 years of teaching, I thought I was crushing it. You know, I thought I was like the best teacher on the planet. And as I look back, you know, years later, I had a great rapport with the kids. I had a great relationship with their parents and with, you know, my colleagues. But I don't think I pushed academically. I don't think I pushed forward kids as critical thinkers, like as a result of my efforts in those years, like one bit, you know. And I may have helped some kids along the way, like personally and with some stuff they were going through, but I don't think I capitalized on the relationships I have with those kids. And so I see that as a failure at the time, you know, but what did I do to turn it around? I think so. I actually stopped teaching for 3 years, and when I came back to teaching, and I was a new teacher again, but as a little older of an adult, I was reflecting on that, and I think that really drove me to become as much of an effective teacher as I could, and not just rely just on relationships, but to really push academically also, you know. And I think coming back from that 3 year hiatus, I actually left teaching. I ran a construction company. I built in-ground swimming pools for 3 years. And when I came back to teaching, I kind of assumed that those positive relationships would automatically form right away. And I was in the inner city, and it was different from where I had been, and it didn't happen. And so, you know, that was a failure in itself too, where I wasn't able to connect with the kids right away. And that just taught me to persevere, that, you know, kids aren't going to give their trust away and their respect away and their friendship, so to speak, away, so readily. And it had to be earned. It had to be earned. And through consistency and perseverance, you know, I did earn it in the inner city. I was in Trenton at that time. And so I think those two things were some, I don't know, failures, difficulties, whatever you want to call them. But they are definitely they definitely became the cornerstones of how I am as an educator now. So,
yeah, I think some important lessons there of perseverance and staying consistent and not giving up on yourself when you came back, and it's kind of a unique situation there after taking a hiatus like that. And I love it, you know, that the first failure you talked about there and the reflection that it took. And I think that's such a key piece. And we talk about it a lot on this podcast, a lot about reflecting and how important that is. But like, that's just another story that cements the fact that reflecting on times that we have challenges, with times that we feel like we fail, we fall on our face, reflecting on it and figuring out, okay, what can I learn from this? That's crucial, man. So I love that story. Appreciate you sharing that. Sure. Let's flip it around now. Let's talk about a time that you felt successful. So this could be something big or something small, but kind of take us there with you. What was it? Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Oh, man. I think the first time that that like education like touched me and that I knew I had done something well, I was at a pizza place with my wife now, who was my girlfriend at the time. It's been a while, so it's weird to say that. But we were at a pizza place, and a kid from my very first year of teaching, he was a junior at the time. He was hardly ever there. Attendance was a big issue. And, you know, it was, to tell you the truth, I don't remember like how the year ended with him, but I remember him coming up to me at that pizza place and was excited to see me and let me know that, that it was me that got him to show up to school at all that year. And it was me that he thanks, directly for getting back on track and graduating school, like graduating high school. That was a big moment for me. You know, I was still very young. I was still very early in my career. And to be attached to someone's reason for, like, he was on track to not graduate. Like he was going to be a high school dropout. And somehow I sparked something in him. To this day, I don't know what it is still. But, you know, that he got back on track. And that was a huge moment that as educators, stuff like that really, really sticks with us. I think specifically, like in a more recent tip, like something that we did as a positive. This year was my first year in Mount Holly. I was an assistant principal in Trenton for the last 3 years. This year was my first year in Mount Holly. In the beginning of the year, I noticed that as the bell was ringing, there's a lot of kids lingering in the hallways. They were taking their time getting to class. So, you know, speaking with the principal, what can we do to eradicate this, to make sure kids are in class on time, in seats, ready to learn? And so we instituted an on-time for class challenge, and we're trying to throw a positive spin on how to get these kids to class. And so we challenged them by homeroom, the homeroom with the least amount of recorded lates over a course of a month would win prizes. And we did hold accountable kids that were late. We asked teachers to steadfastly record kids that were showing up late. And after a certain amount of times, that they did get a consequence, but the emphasis was way on how few lates can one homeroom get. And I would give them updates during lunch every couple of days. And it was a big competition in school. It was a month long, and it worked. You know, you could feel it in the hallways. It was, the bell would ring and the hallways were empty, as opposed to a month prior when the bell would ring and there was a lot of action still in the hallways. And kids were in class ready to learn. You know, the winning homeroom had like a pizza party, and the second place homeroom got like donuts or ice cream or something. I don't remember what we did, but you know, that was definitely a positive. That was definitely a win. It was you know, it was a win for the principal and myself working together early in the year. It was a win for the staff, came together and bought in right away. So it was a win on the specific task of the specific task at hand of getting kids in class on time. But it was also a win like culturally for the staff, like the adult culture. And so that was recent. That was this past school year.
You know, Dan, something I always enjoy about your stories here and getting to know you is your focus on connections, right? I mean, like your examples all stem from building a relationship with students and having an impact, or seeing what your students need, knowing them well enough to find the motivation, the right motivation to kind of like solve a problem that you were having in your building. I think that's so important with how we continue to push through education, of building relationships with students and using that not just as an opportunity to connect, but then as an opportunity to make future connections, right? Find better solutions to reach our students more deeply. It really gets me excited. I think it's kind of motivating to listen to that. So if I flip that on you, what's getting you excited about education? What's kind of fueling your fire?
Oh man. You know, personally in my position, right, in my own personal position in my role in like education in Mount Holly right now, what gets me excited is thinking about like the impact that I can have directly or indirectly. So like working with the teacher, right, and coaching a teacher, and if they become a more effective educator because of me in any which way. And they teach 100 kids and those 100 kids get better in any which way, then I just touched 100 kids. And if they teach for 15 years, that's, you know, 1500 kids. And so that basic math like steadily keeps me excited about like what I'm doing every day when I, you know, when I park my car and I walk in the building. But I think education in general right now, like what gets me excited. And it's funny because you were talking about the relationships. But I think, because that's always been there, right? And education is always has always been a people business. But I think the infusion of technology right now, in the classroom, things like just basic things like Google Classroom and stuff like that. But you know, just like in my school right now, we have a one-to-one Chromebook initiative, and it allows the educational path of each student to really be so personalized. And that is what gets me excited for the future of education. I think sometimes education in the news as of recent, sometimes I don't know, want to say gets a bad rap, but you know, I think that, you know, people will often compare it to, well, it's based on a system that, you know, was established over 100 years ago. Well, I think we're in the crux of that changing, and I think technology is the basis for that, and I'm watching it happen in front of my eyes, and I watch kids on their Chromebooks. You know, kids that have difficulty writing with their hands and reading instead of a book and do amazing things in a Chromebook. And so I think it's opening the path for more kids. And I think it's personalizing the educational path for kids. And so I find that very exciting. I also find it scary because I got to catch up. I got to catch up on the technology piece with them. But I find it very exciting.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think that there's so many things going on, whether it be the way that teachers are purposefully designing their classroom experiences for their students to really be more personalized. That like totally hit a nerve. I love that topic. Mm-hmm. And the connections between, you know, making it relevant is something that you're very passionate about. And I think that's outstanding that that's becoming now a movement in education. It's something we're holding teachers accountable for and sharing their stories when they do so.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off. There's a balance there too, right? Like you were talking about the connections. There's a balance there too of like that personal connection and the technology piece. And that's real life. And if we're preparing kids to be adults, you know, contributing adults to society, like that's where we exist. Like we have to manage face-to-face interactions and you know, managing our technology. And so I think that that balance is important in the classroom right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that that is life, right? Balance is life. You know, the way that however our listeners are listening to this podcast right now, they're not just listening to an audio recording, but they're gaining insight and then they're going to go share this. And, you know, this is a constant balance. I think that too often we are comfortable approaching things in isolation, and in life, things are never in isolation. We're constantly in this interdisciplinary approach of finding the right balance of work and technology and everything in between. So very, very cool. I want to kind of ask you though, for teachers out there that are striving to kind of continue in this progressive movement, what advice would you give a new teacher, or maybe a teacher that's new to a building or new to a district? What advice do they need to really stay progressive and really give what they need to be giving to their students?
Well, I think that you touched on the word balance. That's crucial, right? Because like as a new teacher, or a new teacher to new to a building, like you're so it's such a profession that draws people that want to go all in, all out, and I encourage that. But you also have to maintain the balance of your own self as well. I think that's important. You're never going to be the best teacher you can be if you totally forget who you are outside of the classroom. I have a wife and two kids. I got another one coming in October. Like those are very important pieces of me that have to still exist outside of the school. As a new teacher, aside from that, like specifically in the classroom, I think consistency is the key. So, you know, just look, your kids should know what to expect when they walk in your classroom. They should know that, you know, when I'm in Mr. Smith's room, you know, we're allowed to get up and sharpen our pencil at this time, but when he's doing this, you know, we can't move. That's his non-negotiable. And when they know what to expect, that ambiguity leaves their brain. When they know what to expect, they're comfortable. And when they're comfortable, they'll learn more, they'll produce more. You know, so I think for a new teacher, just remaining consistent, knowing that it does get easier in a sense where, like, in terms of the work time that you put in, gets a little easier. I think you start to get a little more invested in the building and the kids as your career goes on. But, you know, I think consistency is the key, and humility, right? Like always willing to grow. So whether it's your first year or your 20th year, like, you know, just keep an open mind, growth mindset. Let's keep growing together, because we lead kids by example. You know, even my kids at home, you know, when my daughter is she's almost six, and she says something, oh, you just taught daddy something. And that like blows her mind, you know, but that's important for her to know that, like, I'm willing to admit that. And so I think consistency and humility and balance.
Yeah. All that, those are all crucial. I want to touch on, I love that you touched on continually being willing to grow and willing to learn. I love the story with your daughter. My kids do that the same way, and it's really cool. And I always try to tell them, like, daddy's learning too. I don't know everything. But I love that, because, you know, we had a quick conversation before starting. You've touched on a little bit here about technology, social media, and how you need to catch up. And, you know, going, I think it's, you know, I want to touch on, because I think it's important for people to know that this is, you know, you're someone who's been in education for a while. You've had a couple different roles. You're an assistant principal. You have a lot of different things that you're doing, but you're not willing to just stay stagnant. You're willing to admit, okay, I'm not quite where I need to be on technology. I got to learn more. I got to keep growing. And so you really do. That's not just an advice that you throw out, that you're taking that advice day in, day out, trying to think, okay, how am I going to do this? Now I'm curious, as someone who's there and who you've recognized, okay, I need to get more into the social media thing. I need to get a little more in technology. I got to try and keep up. We're always going to be keeping up. What steps can we take? What steps are you taking, yourself, or maybe your staff there, your community as a whole? What are you taking to do that, to kind of get caught back up and to discover new tools and techniques and things that technology or other things can bring in that you've found or helping you continue to grow in that particular realm?
Well, I mean, I think, like, you know, basic stuff, like, you have to set goals for yourself, right? At any given time in your wherever you are in your career, in life, you know, setting goals leads to growth. And so a goal I set for myself this summer is, you know, get get your butt on Twitter, man. Like, I'm not. You know, I think you're winding back. I don't know how many years, but I was so so focused on not being involved in social media as a teacher, because I was creating a very very purposeful line between myself and my students. And I think, you know, maybe 5 years ago that was the case. I think fast forward to today, and you know that line can still exist, and you can exist professionally in those certain media. And so, you know, I'm just, you know, basically trying to establish my own, you know, my own Twitter account, I guess. I'm very raw in meeting these goals this summer. The summer just started, but just, you know, making sure that I stay open-minded, do a little research, and really ask it around. I mean, in my position right now, you know, and my age right now, I gotta pick the brains of some younger people. You know, that's what I gotta do, and ask them, you know, who should I be following, and those kind of things. And also just through like listening to podcasts like this, you know, you get a sense of where people in the field are, and who the names are, and I think that's, you know, so that's where I am. I don't know if I answered that question, but
no, that's perfect, man. That's what I wanted. And as you get that going, make sure we know, because we're going to get it out to the Teach Better World, and make sure we help you grow that presence and
find certainly.
People. And you already mentioned this podcast. We're always talking. We're always asking our guests who to follow. So we got 80 some episodes of lists for you to start with there. But you touched on a really cool point, and Ray, we talked about this with Chelsea Nicolino just two episodes ago about that line that, yeah, 5 or so years ago, like, it was really important to have that very strict line between you and your students, especially on social media. But, you know, we talked to Chelsea about kind of becoming comfortable. She talked about being scared that her students were going to find her on Instagram, and now embracing that and interacting with them and letting them into her world a little bit, and how you kind of keep that personal, so, or keep that professional while still letting them know that, hey, you're a human being, right? You're a person. You have life outside of the school that they see you in every day, while keeping it professional. So I love that you touched on that and how you've kind of overcome that, and now you're ready to go after. So that's super pumped, man. We're excited to take that journey with you. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So let's take another journey together here. We're going to do the next 6 questions.
All right.
And your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. You ready to roll?
Yeah, I'm going to fail, but okay.
Yeah. All right. Give us one ed tech tool you cannot live without.
The Remind app. It touches all the people in our community. And I don't use it at all. Our principal does, but I'm connected to it, and she's awesome. So there you go.
Awesome. What's give us a book that you're reading right now.
I'm in between. The book that I just finished is Total Money Makeover. Next on my list is Smart Money, Smart Kids. I'm like super into financial literacy right now. So
loving it. Who should we follow on Twitter today?
At Holbein School. It's the school that I'm at, and it's about the only Twitter handle that I know. So at Holbein School. But again, the principal runs that. She keeps it way up to date. All the cool stuff we do is on there.
Ray, we're going to come back to Dan in like 3 to 6 months and ask him. You know what? No, you know what? We're going to lay it out right now. I'm interrupting this. We're going to lay it out on Teach Better Talk right now. When we come to New Jersey it's like 3 weeks. I think we're about almost four weeks out, so you got a little bit of time. I'm gonna go on vacation to Canada for a little bit. I'm gonna come back, and then we come out to Jersey, and Ray and I are gonna see how many followers you have and see if your answer changed and who you think we need to be following. So this is recorded. It's now boom done. We're gonna help you get that goal, Dan. We got you. All right. What's the best YouTube channel or website for educators?
Website, I would say check out a website called Write On, Fight On.
Very cool. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Got to reflect. You got to collect your own data. So like, we're so focused in school on data, and that's great. But I think as an individual, if you can know what your goal is, what you want to grow in, collect your own data for your own goals, and then review it yourself. You can do that. Obviously, you know, daily stuff, but weekly, monthly, whatever the case may be, you're doing that. You are certainly growing, and you're growing.
Love it. I believe that's a good one. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
When I first started coaching, my father gave me a book, and the book was filled with quotes from famous coaches. And there was a quote in there from a guy named Frosty Westering, an old D3 football coach, said you are either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. So you're either you're never stagnant. You're either going up or you're going down. And I think the other piece of advice is just the worst reason to do something ever is because that's how it's always been done. There's, you know, it's any time is a good time to think, is this the right way to do that? And do I have to change something or should I stay the same? And as long as you're thinking about that, you're moving in the right direction. So those two pieces of advice, they're both from a book my dad gave me when I was like, I don't know, 21, I think.
Ray, your thoughts on that?
Well, I was going to ask Jeff, are you green or ripe?
Oh, I'm always green.
Don't be ripe, brother.
You know me. I'm always growing. Every time I talk to Ray, I'm growing because she teaches me so much every day, Dan.
He's lying
through his teeth. She's just such a wealth of knowledge and positivity and just.
Dan, don't believe
him. I am so lucky to even know her, let alone host a podcast with her, Dan. I tell you what.
You know, it's not nice. It's not nice to our listeners.
Tell me talking to my wife.
I really hope you talk to your wife better than I talk to Ray.
I hope so too.
My wife does make me a better person. She truly does.
Well, Ray makes me a better person. Ooh, you see that, Ray? That's the truth.
Yeah, Amy makes me a better person. Amy's Jeff's wife, and I love talking to Amy. She's like a saint, and she deals with Jeff, and so that's like really good.
She really is.
All right, I have the final question of our podcast recording before I get a break from Jeff, which is so, so wonderful. But Dan, this one is for you, and it's super important because I want to make sure our listeners can connect with you, keep the conversation going. And hey, you're going to work on growing that PLN, that Professional Learning Network. Mm-hmm. So this is what our listeners are going to do for you. They're not only going to listen to how to get connected, but they are going to really choose to pause and get connected to you so they can continue to show you the amazing impact a PLN can make. So would you mind sharing how they can get connected?
Yeah. Yeah, I told you I'm old school. So their best bet is probably like write a letter, stick it in an envelope, put a stamp on it.
A pigeon.
Send it by messenger bird. You know, you can email me through the Mount Holly schools, Mount Holly websites, MT Holly. .k12.nj.us. You can email me through there. That's the best way at this point. I will have it's dfin@mountholly.k12.nj.us. I will have a Twitter handle for you as I've been challenged/peer pressured within the next month to have some kind of Twitter handle for you on there. But
yeah, that'd be awesome. We'll get that. You know, you can find all the links and resources, everything we talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as that soon to come Twitter handle from Dan. And of course, his email. So if you want to reach out and continue that conversation here. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit the subscribe button if I could speak today, so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating review, that would make Ray super happy. And then I'm going to tell you again, let's take this one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share this podcast with them. We want to continue to share the voices of these amazing teachers. Dan, man, this was awesome. I appreciate you coming on, opening up, sharing your goals with us, taking on the challenge that we laid out for you. We're excited to go on that journey with you. We really appreciate your time and your energy and your insight, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.